Welcome to Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio, brought to you by Visit Anderson, South Carolina, home of beautiful Lake Hartwell. The Rapala family of fishing products, including VMC hooks and 13 fishing rods, reels, and more. And the Bass Angler Sportsman Society. Now, here's your host, lifetime BASS member, Tom Abraham.
Welcome to this week's episode of Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. I am Tom Abraham, your guide for the next hour as we feature the Bassmaster Elite Series and those looking to get into that exclusive group through the St. Croix Bassmaster Open Series and the up-and-comers on the Strike King Bassmaster College Series and the tens of thousands of Bass Nation anglers around the country competing on the local level, all with a chance to advance to the big leagues of professional fishing. Now, the Bass Nation operates youth, high school, and college programs, including a Junior Bassmaster Championship, High School National Championship, College National Championship, and the College Bracket event, leading to a Bassmaster Classic berth. The Bass Nation is at the grassroots of who we are. And for more information about how to become a member or to start a Bass Nation club, visit Bassmaster.com and click on the Nation tab. Now, the best way to communicate with the show is to visit our Facebook fan page at Facebook.com/Bass or on Twitter at Bassmaster and use the hashtag Bass Radio. You can also listen to all the shows at Bassmaster.com/radio or just hit the Anglers tab at Bassmaster.com and click on Bassmaster Radio. Our first cast segment of the show is brought to you by 13 Fishing, and we have a great deal for you right now. The Gerald Swindle Design Meta Series Rods and Inception G2 Reels are available at 13fishing.com along with all their other great products. And for a limited time, you can get 20% off your entire order by using the discount code BASSRADIO20. That's BASSRADIO20, only at 13fishing.com. Now, I fish these rods and reels myself and could not be happier. Get 20% off with the code BASSRADIO20. We are double dipping on the Rapala Winner's Circle today as tournament season is in full swing. Scott Martin went off on his home waters last week for a runaway win at Lake Okeechobee, his home water. As I said, his 90-pound, 6-ounce total was good for nearly 22-pound win over young Tucker Smith, who had over 68 pounds himself. Now, to put this in perspective, Martin's 3-day total in the Open would have won last year's 4-day elite event by 4 pounds. Martin is qualified for the 2025 Bassmaster Classic before the elite season even begins, and he's coming up a little bit later on in the show. Now, the next St. Croix Bassmaster Open is right around the corner. We're going to take a look at the playing field. That's Lake Ouachita in our Omnia Fishing app Lake Report with Ronnie Moore. Omnia Fishing's pro membership allows anglers to see current conditions and info on thousands of lakes through the pro map layers, plus receive shopping perks like free shipping and 10% off tackle purchases every day. Just go to omniafishing.com/bass to save 20%. That's omniafishing.com/bass to save 20%. Now, in our leadoff role today, Anderson Jones of Lander University won the Strike King College Series event on Clarks Hill Reservoir all by his lonesome. And he joins us now in the first of two Rapala Winner's Circle segments. And he is on the VMC hook with us, and he's brought to us by our good friends at Visit Anderson, where we share a sponsor, Green Pond Landing and Visit Anderson. If Green Pond Landing didn't exist, you'd have to invent it. It's got to be one of the best facilities anywhere in the country. And, of course, Anderson, South Carolina, one of my favorite places on the planet. Anderson joins us now. Welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm fantastic. I guess Visit Anderson has a whole new meaning now with you. I was confusing myself here with Anderson Jones and Visit Anderson, but Neil Paul and his crew, they do such a great job. They're such friends of the angler. I mean, it's amazing what they do for the fishing industry in your part of the country.
Yeah, they're absolutely fabulous people and great sponsors too. I'm Anderson. I'm from Lander University, and I just accomplished something that I have never even imagined of doing by myself. Unfortunately, I didn't have anybody to help me take home the extra trophy, but it was one experience that I'll definitely never forget, that's for sure. Practice was absolutely crazy, you know, with winds blowing to 40 miles an hour, gust, max wind, and I, I tell you, I did get beat up a little bit, but it definitely forced me to fish in areas that I didn't see 3 or 4 footers.
All right.
And I did pretty well in practice. I'm not going to lie. I probably had 18, 16 pounds in practice, and that was unintentionally.
Mm.
I tried to figure out more of a game plan and consistent pattern because of a 2-day tournament. It definitely can throw people off if they're not consistent with their catches. And that's something I try to figure out. And I did pretty well, but I wasn't trying to catch the biggest bag in practice. But, day one, it definitely hit me pretty hard being the last boat out of the fleet. So especially with a fog delay.
Yeah.
I blasted off in the morning when it was my boat number, and I had a lot of adrenaline running, a lot of thoughts going through my mm-hmm. head, and I pull up to the first spot. Somebody was in one of my areas that I did pretty good in, so I had to kind of procrastinate until that spot opened up, and I went back in there when he bugged out, and there was not a fish in sight, to be honest.
Yeah.
Thanks to the live scope, Garmin live scope, it definitely is a key tool in this victory. I struggled, and on top of that, I started having some motor issues cranking back up to spot to spot. Mm-hmm. It was a bad connection on a terminal, so I had to scrape that off, get it clean, to make sure that it was on snug. And I got back in action an hour later, and it was already around 2:00.
Oh,
so
my.
It was. And, granted, I did leave out. I did catch a 2.5-pounder. I think it was a spot. I didn't think I was going to have any hope in winning the tournament, just with all the little hiccups that happened that day.
Well, the 19-12 on opening day it's not like that sucks. I mean, that's pretty good. And you're out there fishing by yourself too. Was by the way, great picture of you holding both trophies. The big question is, did you get to take both trophies? Did they say, no, you got to give us one back? Or did you say, you know what? I did this by myself. I'm taking both of these trophies and putting them on my shelf.
Yeah, no, I did get to take home both trophies. Honestly, it felt really good to take two trophies. But unfortunately, like I said, I wish I had a partner to share the moment with. But it felt good. I'm not going to lie. It definitely told me that I put a lot of work into that tournament and a lot of problem solving and finding solutions too.
But then you'd have to share. You'd have had to share the money too. You know what I mean? So this way you get to keep all the money, which is not a bad thing either. You come back on day two with 24-3. You had to be feeling really good. I mean, when you're coming in, you were third going into day two, and you had the 24-3. You had to tell me about that ride back, because you had to know that you had won the tournament at that point, or at least thought you might have won the tournament.
Yeah, so it's actually kind of a funny story. But I did really well day two in the morning. I went back to that spot that I had a boat in it, and I was the first flight out. So I got there bright and early, and I cranked three fish, that two of them being a 4-pounder or 4-pounders and one of them being a 3. But I had a bag working quick, and I mean quick. I probably had almost the limit by 8:40, I'm pretty sure, or close to 9.
Wow.
And I was sitting around 16 pounds, and I felt like I have a chance at winning this tournament. But there was something bugging me that I could always lose by an ounce, So I just had to keep on fishing and not stop and just try to catch a 5-plus-pound bite. And I finally reached 20 pounds around 12:00, and honestly, I didn't think it was enough to win, because there's a lot of good people that fish in these college tournaments, and I look up to most of them, to be honest with you. I've seen them do so well in tournaments after tournaments after tournaments, but in order to beat them, I just knew I had to get one giant bite to just separate myself. And
yeah.
I went hunting down for that bite around the 20-pound mark, and I started hitting some brush piles that I knew had big fish on them. And I know it's more of a hit or miss with those kind of fish and the way I fish, because I really key in on big baits and throwing them, because I do have a lot of confidence throwing a giant bait and just getting a big bite. So I just pulled up at the right time at the right moment, and I caught I think it was close to a 6-pounder on a glide, and it, you know, that put me up to 23-24 pounds. And man, I looked up in the sky and I was like, is this for real? Because it was definitely a gift.
Yeah, truly.
And
blessed.
I will say that it was a gift.
Yeah.
Getting a bite with a bait that size, it's, you know, you could throw it for days and not get it. It's almost like musky fishing. But, it felt good, but I also felt anxious. I had a lot of nerve running through my head, you know, saying that I could have lost. But with a 24-pound bag, I knew I probably sealed the deal. And
well, you certainly, I was going to say, you certainly did seal the deal. There's no doubt about it for Little Lander University in South Carolina. And that is just so cool. Anderson Jones has been our guest. And Anderson, congratulations. We wish you the best of luck the rest of the college season. Keep up the good work, man.
I hope so. Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
All right, thank you. What a great kid there getting that victory. That is so cool. All right, we're going to break in here. When we come back, Ronnie Moore will join us, and we'll take a look at the Omnia Fishing Report for Lake Ouachita. We'll do that next on Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio on the Bassmaster Radio Network.
Welcome back to Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. Now, here's your host, Tom Abraham.
And welcome back, Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. Now it's time for the Omnia Lake Preview, as Lake Ouachita in Arkansas, just west of Little Rock, is up next on the St. Croix Bassmaster Opens schedule. And you know, with Omnia Pro, you can look at each lake's unique structure and the current water and weather conditions to see what kind of approach makes the most sense. With Omnia Pro, members can see current conditions, including the water temp, on thousands of lakes throughout the Omnia Fishing mobile app. Pro membership is $49 a year, and it includes unlimited access to map layers from your phone, plus free shipping and 10% back on all of your tackle purchases. Just go to omniafishing.com/bass. That's omniafishing.com/bass. Save 20% on a membership today just for listening to Bassmaster Radio and helping us set up Lake Ouachita from Bassmaster Live. Does such a tremendous job there. And awesome. I understand occasionally listens to Bassmaster Radio as well. Maybe not. It's the one and only Ronnie Moore. Ronnie, welcome to the show. How are you?
And don't do this like maybe listens to the show.
Maybe.
Of course I hear all about what you're doing when you don't invite me on. So I'm just glad that you do call me once in a while and invite me on. But when I'm not on, I do listen. I see it pop into the website as well, Bassmaster.com, where it's hosted as well.
Yeah.
So don't count me out. I'm a listener,
long-time
listener, time caller.
Well over 1 million downloads now at Bassmaster.com on the show, and of course expanded to 130 radio stations across the country. So like Bass, I mean, it just keeps getting bigger and bigger. The audience keeps getting bigger and bigger. And you know, Ronnie, I saw you, by the way, running around at Okeechobee at registration. I tried to stop you, but you looked like you were very busy running out to your vehicle or whatnot. And I was like, what's he doing here? He's got to do the show. And you know, I figured you were just there for Wednesday, and then we're going to head back to Little Rock. But you have this experience all the time, I'm sure, but it was just so cool. I was in the weigh-in line and had people coming over to the weigh-in line, and you know, had my Bassmaster Radio jersey on and stuff, and people saying, man, I really love the show, I love listening to the show. And it's just so neat when you get out there amongst the fishermen and the fans, you know, to get that recognition that people, you know, are consuming what we're putting out there.
89% of the time people come up to me and they're like, oh, it's Ronnie Moore. I love Tommy Sanders and Mark Zona, man. Can you tell them that? And that's normally how it goes, Tom. But no, it was super cool to be down there. And yeah, I did head back immediately after the meeting. Like, I was supposed to be the last speaker at the meeting, the EQ anglers, and Hank bumped me up to first because I had two plane flights to catch, last flight out of Palm Beach and the last flight of Atlanta, so that I could make it home and be there for my wife's birthday the next morning. So we all made it. We rushed. I may have ran from terminal to terminal, but it was worth it to see the anglers do the kickoff for the year. And, you know, I honestly spoke at the meeting up to the anglers, thanking them for trusting in Bass. They could choose to fish anywhere that they want, their money, spend their time, and put their hopes and dreams in the media coverage anywhere they want. Appreciate them spending it with us, and we don't take that lightly, and we want to make the best impact and bang for their buck that we can to the exposure. And like you said, I think it's public knowledge. Maybe it's not yet, but the Bassmaster Live for the Opens is the most viewed Bassmaster Live Opens ever.
Yeah.
It's comparable at times to some elite events, you know, a single day of an elite event. So the added 9 Bassmaster Lives for the Opens compared to 3 normally, it's already paying off big dividends with fans what they want, which is more fishing for free online and on FS1. And boy, when we turn those cameras on, magic happens, it seems.
Yeah, well, certainly the stars showed up. I mean, there's no doubt about it. You know, you had, of course, Scott Martin, a very popular, maybe the most popular angler out there right now, showing up big time on his home pond with an unbelievable tournament with over 90 pounds of fish in just 3 days. That would have won last year's Elite, which was a 4-day total of 86 pounds by Tyler Rivette. This was 90 pounds in just 3 days. And, of course, Randall Tharp, a very well-known professional angler, working his way back to the, hopefully to the Elite Series level. And then one of the hot up-and-comers in Tucker Smith, who's already won a $1 million tournament and a 3-time high school Bassmaster champion and a national champion in college and team of the year, all that kind of stuff. I mean, it just, that top 10 was littered with some pretty big names, and that gave it even more juice, I think, on the broadcast.
Yeah, and having, you know, even a Brandon McMillan, I said this like a 2011 Lake Okeechobee tournament with Scott Martin, Randall Tharp, and Brandon McMillan all in the top 10. But I really think that this resembles what it's going to look like, not maybe the people specifically, but the background and skill set for the 9 Opens who will qualify for the Elite Series. You had 3 professional anglers or former ones in Martin, Tharp, and McMillan. You had 3 college anglers just graduated or still currently in school with Tucker Smith, Easton Fothergill, and Bo Browning. Mm. And then you had 3 or 4 other guys. You can say the 3, you know, Austin Cranford, Sam George, Matt Adams, EQ guys, as well as Paul Marks. And those are kind of guys, whether they're veterans of the Opens or brand new to them, going to be a good mixture, I feel, this year of young guys with the college recognition, guys with professional recognition, and guys in the middle who have been after this elite dream either for a while in the Opens or are deciding to do that, you know, in their middle 20s or early 30s. I'm going to give it a shot and I'm going to give it a try. And so I think that good mixture, and we're going to see probably another diverse mixture, honestly, with a little bit of local flair probably at this next one at Wachita.
Well, let's talk about Wachita. I mean, this is in the backyard for you as you've been transplanted to the Little Rock area, the home of all the Bass publications and so on that come out of there. And so let's take a look at our Omnia Lake preview at Wachita. You fish there as well now because you live so nearby there. Tell us what kind of lake it is. We know that from our Omnia Pro that it's averaging about 49, 50 degrees in water temperature right now. But what kind of a lake is it, and what are we expecting weight-wise?
Well, I will say, I'll put an asterisk to this. I'm a retired fisherman. We work so much and do so much Bassmaster Live, and I have a daughter that any free weekend I have, Tom, I'm probably sleeping in and maybe getting some breakfast with the lady. So not necessarily traversing Wachita as frequently as I maybe would have in my earlier 20s when I first arrived to Arkansas. But what Wachita is hit on the national level with FLW, Forestwood Cups, things like that in the summer, August, when it's hot as can be. It's very tough and grimy. But this place is going to be very awesome this time of the year. Depending on weather, it could be 65 degrees outside or it could be 25 degrees outside. But Wachita offers plenty of different looks. It is a very big body of water. I know Okeechobee is a very big body of water, but Wachita is vast with plenty of structure throughout the whole lake. And so I honestly expect to see those 45 degree banks bait and a crankbait playing for some people, maybe a small swim bait. I think the standing timber is going to get a lot of people's attention as well, especially with the use of electronics these days. I'll have to look at the Omnia to see if there's still grass, but there's a predominant called Blakely's on Wachita, more to the southeast side of the lake, that was always submerged vegetation. You know, vegetation changes yearly, and we had a massive freeze for an entire week. That's why those water temps are still in the 40s at Wachita. About 2 weeks ago, we had really cold temperatures sustained for a week, ice, snow, and then we had a ton of rain wash it all away, and those lakes probably rose back up. They had to pull some water because those lakes, Tom, can fill up in a heartbeat. I remember practicing on a Friday. It starts drizzling and raining. I'm upriver cranking, and my crankbait's hitting the bottom. It rains all night. My spot the next day in the river, Saturday morning, and my crankbait's no longer hitting the bottom because it's got an extra foot, 2 or 3 feet on it. So Wachita can rise really quick if we have a bunch of rain. I don't expect for this lake to fish really good. I don't want it to warm up, sustain temperatures. Maybe the cooler nights keep it, you know, leveled off temperature-wise. But the cooler it is, I feel, these fish in the Ozarks are used to it, and they love it. So a jerk bait, a crank bait, swim baits, maybe some finesse tactics can work. But also you could see like a glide bait, a mag draft, you know, those types of soft swim baits with, you know, treble hooks. Those things can come into play. And I think that we do see a little bit of local knowledge come into play with how many guys fish in this one event, or see some of those EQ guys go up as well. It's also to say this is a great opportunity right now for Bo Browning to leave two events of the EQ season and be the points leader, because out of that top 10, he knows Wachita very well. And so it'll be interesting to see how he does in that one. But a lot to offer, and I like where the takeoff is. Middle Lake, what I would consider, you can go to the west and go to the river. You can go to the east and go towards the dam and really sample whatever you want.
Ronnie Moore with our Omnia Lake preview. And Ronnie, just a few seconds here before we leave, but I thought Greg Hackney was outstanding in studio with you guys for the Okeechobee event. Who will be sitting between you and Tommy when this one rolls around?
I think Stetson Blaylock's going to come up.
Nice.
He's from their region. You know, he's about halfway from, we're only 40 minutes from the lake. He's about 20 minutes from the lake maybe. And so he's probably going to come up if is rigged and wrapped, because the next morning series practice for Toledo Bend. So if Stetson can make it for a few hours, at least on FS1, we will be blessed with that. If he can't make it, I may call Joey Cifuentes, because he's not fishing the event, come do some broadcasting. And worst case scenario, someone who fished the open that missed the cut, come roll up to Little Rock and be on live with us the next day. So plenty of options to choose from, but it's going to be great covering the opens live this year. So much drama. I've always said it. I love the Elite Series and I love the Classic, but the Opens are filled with some of the most drama we could ever ask for.
No doubt about it. Ronnie Moore has been our guest. All right, so we were scheduled to have Scott Martin in the Rappel Winner's Circle next, but he got hung up on a filming assignment in Alabama, so he'll join us next week. And in the meantime, we're going to go back and take a look at what Mark Zona had to say about the upcoming season. We'll do that next, right here on Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio on the Bassmaster Radio Network.
Welcome back to Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. Now, here's your host, Tom Abraham.
And welcome back, Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. This segment of the show is brought to you by the fine folks at visitanderson.com. And let me tell you something, if it didn't exist, you'd have to invent that Lake Hartwell is just outstanding. It's been on fire. Every tournament known to man has gone there. The lake fish is so big. It's great. But beyond all of that, Anderson, South Carolina, it's just tremendous, man. I mean, it's like Mayberry on steroids. It's great. And they're all so hospitable over there, and we love them so much. Green Pond Landing is probably as good as it gets anywhere as far as a facility. And a guy I know that is fond of Lake Hartwell as well, and he's done at least one show, and who knows, maybe another coming up from Lake Hartwell, is, of course, the great Mark Zona. And he joins us now on the VMC Hook. Z, welcome back to the show, my friend. You are, I'm not lying when I say you love a little Hartwell, don't you?
Tom, I was actually smiling listening to your intro. I was down at Hartwell and Green Pond. Literally, I went there on the 2nd of January. I think my wife was done with me watching football for the better side of 3 weeks. And this is no joke. I'll be really quick about this, but I went there on purpose to tape a show with the crew. And the reason why I say on purpose, I wanted to go there to see how cold you could still catch them. And I got to Green Pond. It's no joke. It was 17 degrees.
Gosh.
And cameraman Wes, not in a good mood. Not in a good mood. But it was absolutely phenomenal. And this is no joke. The colder it was this year, the better the spots bit compared to when we were there last winter. And your listeners know this. That's a rare deal in this country to find a lake that excels the worse the weather gets.
Yeah, it's an amazing lake, and it does fish big. Now, did you tape that show with Cobb again, Brandon Cobb, or is this a solo deal, or what's the deal?
No, I tape. It's what's funny is I taped with Cobb, and we sucked for the better side of. I don't know. Look, he's got a lot of stuff on that lake, obviously. I've got a pile of stuff on that lake. And the better side of about 7 or 8 hours. And then we got on one very, very subtle drain, a ditch. And my gosh, it was incredible how many were in there. Like,
great.
You wouldn't know watching the show what a grinder it was until then. And then it was. One of the best shows of the year. So,
looking forward to that.
The lake shows up, man.
Now, most importantly, did you stay at the Bleckley in downtown Anderson? Because every time I'm there, you know, my boy Neil Paul hooks me up at the Bleckley, and it's a really, really cool place, especially if I got my wife with me. If I don't have my wife with me, I stay at the Motel 6. But if I got my wife with me, I'd stay at the Bleckley.
I did not. This is kind of news to me. I'll text Neil right after.
You tell Neil you want the Bleckley, baby. I mean, and Bleckley is really sweet. Mark Zona with us. You know what? That leads me to a topic that I wanted to touch on with you, because the first experience I had with forward-facing sonar was at Hartwell, chasing spots with Justin Hamner, who was an open angler at the time and is now an elite series angler, and I think there's big things ahead for him. But it was the first time I saw throwing jerkbaits at schooling fish on forward-facing sonar, and it blew my mind. I was standing up on the front deck with him, and he's like, watch this. And he throws into the school, and I see a fish pull out of the school, and I'm talking about it. And as I'm talking about it, he's hooked up. And I'm like, this is revolutionary. Now, this was 4 years ago. And now, obviously, it's become a very, very hot topic. And we've got guys with got these things all over their boat and multiple ones and everything else. I want to get your take on it, though, from a competitive standpoint and then from a recreational standpoint. Where are you? I know you use it, but where are you on the whole forward-facing sonar thing?
It's been a funny off-season with it. And look, it does. It's hard to commentate tournaments if every person on camera. It's very hard to commentate. But there's also, to me, the biggest thing, Tom, is we have learned so much in a four-year span about things about largemouth and smallmouth and spotted bass that we did not know. Look, I didn't know I could catch. There's a show, a Zona show is going to air in next week that I caught largemouth in 50 to 77 feet of water, suspended and on the bottom. Okay, they did not get bends because they go vertical so fast in the water column. Their air bladder is acclimated to living that deep because they go up and down suspending throughout the day chasing bait fish. I didn't know that. I didn't know you could catch them on. That's one side of it. Now, do I think there should be a limit to? You can't have, I don't know, 4, 5, 6, you know, forward-facing transducers on the boat. I guess, you know, where does it end? But I'm never, Tom, I'm never against a tool that teaches us how to catch more bass, and I think that does that. Now, look, do I go and tape my entire season with Mega Live? No, I don't. I don't, on purpose, I don't. But I will still – one thing that's funny, and I'm kind of going off on a tangent right now, but one thing that was funny, when I was at Hartwell with Cobb, I tried to use it, especially when it was tough, but it was so cold. It was so cold. Those fish were sucked so tight to the bottom, mm-hmm. Those big spotted bass. We could only – find them with 2D.
Yeah.
We could not find them with Mega Live. The 2D was the biggest key, and that was sort of eye-opening. Now, from a total recreational standpoint, I made this comment to Todd Castlebrine the other day. I don't think if it's legal, I don't think people should tell me what I should and shouldn't do.
Mm-hmm.
And there's been a lot of that. There's been a lot of that this fall.
Yeah.
People need to worry about themselves and what makes them happy instead of me.
Yeah.
And vice versa. I shouldn't judge somebody if they like using forward-facing sonar.
Yeah. You know, I had a couple of weeks ago, we had Greg Hackney on, and I love Hackney because he fishes the way I fish. That's how I want to fish. I'm a power fisherman. You're a great offshore fisherman. I'm a guy. I like the target fish and see that kind of stuff. And Hackney has always been like that. But he's telling me, like Jason Christie, he's telling me that he has really kind of come to enjoy some of that fishing with the forward facing. But he made an interesting comment 2 weeks ago on the show. He thinks the fish are getting a little conditioned, and I'm like, you know, come on,
absolutely.
Really? And he says he sees them swimming away. He says it's amazing. He goes, I'll see a school, and I'm sending that ping out there, whatever it is. And he says, I'm watching the school literally swim away from me because of the forward facing sonar. So you sound like you're seeing a little of that conditioning as well.
1,000,000%. 1,000,000%. To where we could talk about a Lake St. Clair, a Lake Ontario, where 3 years ago with forward-facing sonar, you could catch 9 out of 10 that you would see offshore. Now those numbers have gone to 2 out of 10. So let me, it's, Tom, it's very, very parallel. Everybody thought an umbrella rig was going to catch every fish in the lake and we were going to destroy our lakes. Those fish have become conditioned very quick. I've always thought this because I've seen it with my own eyes the last 3 years. Mother Nature teaches her kids very quickly to not get bit by hit by a mousetrap.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you're going to see that. And with that being said, I think in the next few years, you will also see somebody throughout our seasons get on a school of fish shallow without forward-facing sonar and destroy the tournament because everybody else is offshore.
That's what I'm hoping for. Yeah, you know, my mindset has been, you know what, get off the bank. You know what I mean? Get all these guys out there, and then maybe the bank will come back alive a little bit. And I have seen that. I mean, there's a certain amount. It kind of makes the lake bigger, which is a good thing. Mark Zona with us here. We're talking a little bit about the technology of fishing. And, of course, Zona's awesome fishing show as well. It is... I'm going to make a reference that's going to make him blush a little bit, but if any of you have been watching the cast, maybe you saw the episode about Bill Dance. Bill Dance was on the show last week, and I honestly believe this, and I say this in all sincerity, that I think that Mark Zona is the modern-day Bill Dance. The entertainment, the education, those types of things I think are great. I'm gonna let that ferment for a minute in his brain here. We'll take a quick break and we'll come back and get Zona's take on that and the take on the upcoming season, which has a very interesting schedule and a very nice flow to it as well. We'll get all of that in next. This is Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio on the Bassmaster Radio Network.
Welcome back to Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. Now, here's your host, Tom Abraham.
And welcome back, Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio, visiting with Mark Zona. It's our annual kind of preview of the season and just catching up on some off-season stuff. And as I said before I went to break, the cast has been outstanding. If you are a history buff when it comes to bass, and I am, I've been a lifetime member since I was a kid, since 1981. I have been a lifetime member of bass, and this cast program has been outstanding. Well, they had an episode about Bill Dance. Bill was on the show last week talking about his signature series of lakes in Tennessee. And as I said, I think that Mark Zona is a modern day Bill Dance, and Zona is with us now. Z, you educate and you entertain, and that's what Bill Dance has always been. Now, he was also a championship angler, but anybody that knows your history at all if it knows that you were very competitive as a competitive fisherman. And it was interesting to hear Bill Dance say it was the anxiety of tournament fishing that turned him off to tournament fishing. And I don't think I'm telling stories out of school when I say that may have changed your career from a tournament fisherman to a TV show host and entertainer as well, because as good as you were as a tournament fisherman, it drove you nuts. Am I lying?
Oh, Tom, I love tournaments, man. Tournaments, you know, back in the, and it's been a long time. Tournaments took care of my family for since the day one of my marriage. I owe competitive angling the world. But now I can tell you, having a TV show is eerily similar to a turn. And here's the other side of it. My entry fee to make a television show is way higher than what my entry fees were back in the day. And so there's a very similar parallel. But as far as I get the same anxiety shooting a show that I did before a big tournament, right before I was probably going to go completely full time, television came along and I thought, what the heck, man, let's give this goofy thing a try. And it's worked out for two decades. And I've been able to see the country. I've been able to meet so many fishermen that watch the show. And those are the people that I owe.
Yeah.
That little goofy show has worked out pretty well.
Yeah, it's worked out pretty well for sure. And, you know, as far as dance goes, you always thought that some of the bloopers, some of the stuff was staged and so on and so forth. But about 3 years ago, I guess it was at the Birmingham Classic, I shot a commercial, TV commercial, with Bill Dance, Roland Martin, and Jimmy Houston. It was for a Legends event that they were doing, and they asked me to shoot the commercial with them. We shot 16 minutes to get a 30-second commercial. We sat there on the front end of a pontoon boat and shot for 16 minutes to get the 30-second spot. Anyway, Dance, about halfway through the commercial, Dance is irritated that there's that little table, you know, that's on the front of a pontoon boat that's between him and Jimmy and Roland. And he, let me move this thing. And he grabs the table and he goes to turn it and to twist it. And he breaks the table. It falls over. I mean, it was Bill Dance 101. It was classic Bill Dance blooper. Thankfully, the producers of the commercial sent it to me. So I actually have it in my archives of Bill Dance breaking a table on the bow of the boat. But nobody ever like him, and I don't think we'll ever see anybody like him in our lifetime.
Oh, I totally listen, Bill of all of the real legends of television shows, Bill has been probably the best, the most helpful sounding board. You know, I've worked with Jimmy and Roland a lot, you know, through Bass Pro Shop, but since day one, Bill's hand has always been out. If you know, I had a question or I ran into some sort of a roadblock. And what's funny is he's actually called me for advice here and there, and I'm like, what the heck is this? You know, it's humbling. On the other side of it, Tom, and I mean this, I cannot play my bloopers because I would lose probably every sponsor we have.
Your bloopers would be bleepers. You'd have to have
that's very, very true.
And the thing with Dance, too, is they never say where he's fishing. He shot every show he ever shot at, like, Gros Savant. You know what I mean? He's fishing some private water somewhere, and it's like, oh, come on. Has Bill Dance ever caught a fish under 5 pounds? You know what I mean? It's crazy.
Stop. What's funny is I do one cheat, what I call cheat show a year, where I'll go to my little private lake in Arkansas, and my crew is always like, dude, let's do them all here. I'm like, that's not my jam, but not a bad idea, because I can tell you, and really just from a, and this is just how Zona Show is, I do love still going to public lakes. It does add a little extra challenge, but I also think at the end of the day, it's relatable for a lot of the viewers because they're places that they probably either have been or want to go to. So that's just kind of how we've done it.
Yeah. Mark Zona with us here. All right. So we got Kyle Welcher as the AOI going into this year. And a couple of years ago, we had Seth Fider with an amazing season, and it just felt like at the end of that year that Seth Fider would win like the next five AOIs because he was just so on fire. But it's tough to do that stuff back to back. We'll see what Welcher can do. My pick was Brandon Lester. Now, he's a neighbor of mine, and he and I fished with him at Okeechobee last week at the open in practice. And, you know, I love Lester. I picked him last year, and then he crashed and burned, didn't even make the Classic. And so I can't pick him because I don't want to jinx him. But when you look at this year, is there a Kyle Welcher guy out there? Is there some dude out there that's ready to pounce that's going to win the AOI that maybe isn't the usual names that we're always thinking about?
Tom, I don't know how you don't put money on Koya Fujita this year. He kind of came into his own big-time forward-facing sonar fisherman. And one of the things that before our season last year, I'm very close with Taku Ito, and he said, boy, Koya's the real deal, man. And listen, he's a challenge to cover. He doesn't want. He's a very nice young man, but he isn't going to give up the good.
No.
But you could listen. You know this, Tom. Your listeners totally know this. You can watch Bassmaster live and go, "Dang it, man! That dude's got it." And I think he's going to be a handful this year.
Really. Yeah. Let's talk about this season and the way this schedule sets up, because I love it. If I was an Elite Series angler, I mean, I think I would love this. The two in Texas in late February to get things started, and then the Classic out of Tulsa up at Grand Lake, which is about 90 miles from Tulsa, but it makes that a blast to cover for those of us that go to the lake and go to the expo. But then the two in Florida, Murray. We talked to Davey last week about Murray when the college kids were there. And then, of course, two in Alabama in my backyard at Wheeler and Smith Lake, and then two up north. A lot of back-to-backs, but they're grouped together. This is a really cool schedule.
I think what I like most about this year is obviously, you know, the first two in Toledo Bend and then going to Fork. Those are going to be, you know, obviously big weight tournaments, pretty big, you know, obviously pre-spawn. But I think the two that I'm most excited about, just because of time of year, I've never called an event in Florida in the month of April, ever in my life. I think those will be very unique compared to, look, every single circuit, you know this, Tom, every circuit tends to start in Florida, and it's right. a little bit cliche, and you know what's coming at you from a technique standpoint. What the fish, you know, cold front, they go into mats, you know, you get a warm spell, they come out, they start spawning. That will be they will look and feel a lot different compared to usual Florida tournaments. So very, very excited about that. And you and I talked about it off the show, Tom. Very excited about a lot of the new opens anglers that are coming to the Elite Series, because here's what I could tell you, man. That gauntlet they went through last year, if you qualified for the Elite Series, if your name's on that list as a rookie, more so this season than any year before, prior, to go through what they went through, they really – not that they did not in the past, but their path to get there now, they earned it, and they're the real deal.
Yeah, they are the real deal, and they're also the young deal. I mean, my goodness gracious, I talked to Milliken about this. He's 34 years old, and he took the picture with the other eight qualifiers, and they were all under 25. I felt like I was the leader at the dorm or something like that, and I had all these kids with me. It's unbelievable.
But Milliken, I think he's a little bit like me. I think he's probably been hard on himself. He looks like he's about 40.
Yeah, he does. I mean, that guy ridden hard and put up wet. There's no doubt about that with Ben Milliken, for sure. Mark Zona has been our guest. Z, I always appreciate you, man. It's always great to get caught up. And I will see you in Tulsa at the very least if I don't see you before then. So looking forward to you guys. Looking forward to the Z Show and everything that you're doing. Always great to talk to you.
Tom, you're the best, and it's going to be an awesome season. Thanks for having me, as always.
All right, thank you. That's going to do it for today's show. Remember, if you missed any of the show, just to click away at Bassmaster.com/radio or visit Bassmaster.com, click on the Anglers page, and you'll see Bassmaster Radio listed there. So until next time, keep those lines tight and nets heavy. I'm Tom Abraham, and this has been Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio on the Bassmaster Radio Network.